3, 2, 1, go. Careful. What are you doing? Are you okay?
It's their fifth attempt at the official WRC license, but have Kiloton finally nailed it? Or is this another offering, playing second fiddle to Codemasters' unofficial rally series? It's time we took a look at WRC 8, the official game of the World Rally Championship. Oh, sorry, I meant WRC 9, the official game of the World Rally Championship. Let's go. Hello and welcome to another episode of Power Drifting, the Rally Game Podcast. We've been away for a while, we've had a bit of a hiatus over the last couple of months, but thank you to everybody who has been continuing to download our episodes. Every week or so I get an email, it tells me you've had so many downloads on your podcast, and we've had quite a few thousand downloads now, so thank you to everybody who's been sticking with us and listening to our episodes, even though we've kind of been a little bit absent. My name is Tom, I'm joined in the virtual cockpit, as ever, by Mike. Hello, Mike.
Hello, Tom. It's good to be back after a long absence.
It is, yes. I've spruced up the virtual cockpit. I hope you like these fairy dice I've kind of hung from the from the mirror. I thought you might like those.
Yeah, the nodding head's a bit odd in the window, but that might cause a slight danger in the middle of a rally. But you know, let's see how it goes.
Yeah, it's nice to mix things up a bit and do a bit of an aesthetic upgrade for our surroundings. Anyway, we are back, and this time we're going to discuss a game which is quite a recent release at the time of recording, and that game is WRC 9 from Kiloton Racing, or KT Racing as they're now known. Big fan of the WRC games, well, the more recent ones. I think it's probably safe to say, Mike, that we, between us, have probably played, if not all of the WRC games, most of them, going back into antiquity. Where did you sort of jump on with the WRC series?
Ooh, I think the first WRC game probably would have been one of the PS2 ones. Mm. Probably the second one, I think. Very much a PC gamer before that, so it was, you know, sort of Rally Championship and Network Q Rally ones before that. But I'm trying to think if it was an official WRC before that or not. I don't think there was, no. So it was, yeah, it would have been WRC 2 on the PS2.
Yeah. I was looking through the list earlier on Wikipedia of all the different WRC officially licensed games, and they did actually start in 2001. Before that, there wasn't actually an official WRC rally game. It started in 2001 on the PS2 with Evolution Studios at WRC, then went WRC 2, WRC 3, WRC 4, and then finally there was WRC Rally Evolved, which was the last one from Evolution on the PS2. I think that's my favourite of the original WRC games, obviously as every game was iterated on every year, they kind of improved it slightly, and I just think that was probably the best of the bunch for me. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I think they were all quite similar, but I think as they went on, they sort of progressed and gave better environments. I want to give a shout out a little bit to the PSP version as well. The PSP game was, it was, in some ways it wasn't a great rally game, but in other ways it was just a perfect handheld racing game. I think I probably put more hours into that game than any other game on the PSP. I just absolutely loved it.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that one, because I remember getting my PSP and that was one of the first games I got for it, and that game actually came out, it was almost like the sort of a handheld accompaniment to WRC Rally Evolved on the PS2, because it came out roughly the same time, and I remember just being really sort of impressed with just how good it looked. Really good, like, smoke effects and water effects, if I remember right.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. The original WRC games on the PS2, they were all created by Evolution Studios, which then went on to create things like Drive Club on the PS4. But then there was a bit of a hiatus, and then we got there's almost like a reboot of the WRC games, which came back in 2010. So a five-year gap. And then they came back with Milestone as the developer. So we had WRC, And then, as you would imagine, WRC 2 and on and on and on. We're now at WRC 9, but these games are now developed by Kiloton, or KT Racing, and they started with WRC 5 back in 2015. And yeah. Even though we're talking about WRC 9 in this episode, I just want to touch a little bit on the sort of the current gen WRC games, which started with WRC 5.
Yeah.
I was really underwhelmed by, I tell a lie, it was WRC 6 that was the first one on the PS. No, it wasn't. It was WRC 4. So I'm getting mixed up here. It's like Xbox One Series X, Xbox One X Series 5, 9, 8, 2. WRC 5 was the first one on the PS4 and Xbox One. And I was really underwhelmed with it because I was really expecting it to blow me away. It was the first of a new generation, really. And both 5 and 6 were terrible disappointments for me. I don't know about you, Mike. What did you think of those two?
Yeah, they'd all do meld into one after a while, the WRC games, I suppose. By their nature, they're quite similar. I think there was one game on the Xbox One that I really enjoyed. I'm going to say it's probably the first one, or one of the first ones. For some reason, it just ticked with me. It wasn't great, but I remember it being quite good. Possibly the last Milestone game. I'm not quite sure which of the last Milestone game they developed was.
That was WRC 4.
Was it 4? Maybe it was 4 then. It's been quite a while, but I'm a big fan of Milestone racing games anyway. I know some people sort of dismiss them as sort of cheap budget titles, but I'm a massive fan of all of their games. So
I agree. I'm a big fan of the Ride series, the motorcycle racing series. The Milestone Ride series is fantastic. So
Ride's fantastic. Supercross games are fantastic. They have Supercross and they have the Motocross ones. I love those games. So the Milestone, if I remember rightly, the last Milestone was good. And I think possibly the first of this new wave of developed titles was good as well. For me, for some reason, it just ticked. And then it went downhill a little bit. There was a little bit of a real issue with how the games were developed. They felt completely off to me. I'm sure we'll get onto that later on. But it's been a bit of an up and down series, since this new set of games.
I can distinctly remember asking you if the screen tearing in WRC 6 was as bad as it is on the Xbox One as it is on the PS4. And I remember you saying that there was none in the Xbox One version, but the PS4 version is absolutely beset by it to the point where it's distracting to play. Every time you turn, you know, the screen just updates, you know, one half quicker than the other. So you have this massive sort of disconnect as one half of the screen updates before the other, and it just looks really bad. So that's one of the things that kind of sticks in the memory about WRC 6 in particular.
I think I remember rightly as well. I think, again, I might be wrong here, but I think that actually it wasn't a problem to start with. And then with one of the updates, there was screen tearing.
Mm.
I don't know whether that's to do with the fact that they increased something. I'm guessing something was increased in terms of frame rate, possibly. But I remember distinctly that one of the games didn't have screen tearing. I detest screen tearing. It will kill a game for me. I cannot play a game if it's got screen tearing. And I remember they had screen tearing. It didn't have screen tearing originally, and then it for some reason it developed, which is always a pleasant surprise after you bought a game.
Yeah, no, I know we're going to have a little bit of a tangent about screen tearing, but I think one of the worst games that I remember having really bad screen tearing was it was Serious Sam, and I can't remember if it was on the GameCube or on the Xbox. Yes, it was the Xbox version. It was horrendous.
Yeah. Terrible, yeah. Serious Sam 1 and 2, I think, both had it really, really badly. Especially as I played them on the PC. So when I finally got to play them on the Xbox a couple of years later, I mean, I was properly disappointed because it just ruined the game for me. As a PC gamer, screen tearing is the one thing you do not have. You know, you do everything to make sure you don't get screen tearing. So really disappointing. But I suppose, you know, it was still, looking back, it was quite an achievement for the Xbox to get some of those first person shooters in as full a form as they were.
Yeah. Anyway, going back to WRC, I think the turning point for me when they actually started to get good was WRC 7. And even though we had stuff like Dirt Rally already on the consoles, it did mark a point where they were actually now, rather than just playing catch up, they're almost on like a level peg. And then when WRC came out, that was just like a revelation. It was almost like they finally got all the ingredients together and produced something that was actually a worthy competitor to the Codemasters Rally Games,
yeah,
like Dirt 4 and Dirt 2.0, Dirt Rally 2.0. So that brings us pretty much up to the present day with WRC 9, which is, as the name suggests, the latest and greatest entry in the in the WRC pantheon. And yeah, I'm just going to say up front, Mike, I think it's an absolutely barnstorming game. WRC 8 was a really good game, and WRC 9, it doesn't really reinvent the wheel, but it's almost like a sort of a tweaked version of WRC 8.
Yeah, so I come at it from a slightly different angle than you in terms of the fact I didn't like 7 and 8.
Okay.
I don't know what it was about 8, but 8 just didn't do it for me. I know we've spoken about this before privately, but 8 for me was just... I think it was maybe the extreme conditions test early on. It was just such a fiddly track to do. It just killed the enthusiasm for me. I just wasn't interested at all. Number 9 is... it's still not perfect. I'm still a Codemasters fan at heart, I think, but it is, I think it's probably the best rally game that's not made by Codemasters, which is quite a significant accolade, in my opinion.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about, by the way, in WRC 8. That first, I think it's like you do two training missions in the career mode, and then there's an extreme weather challenge, and it's I think it's a turkey track. And it's just absolutely, it's awful. I can remember the first time I played it, I was just like, what is this? It almost put me off playing anything else, you know.
Yeah.
It was just terrible. And yeah, it was a very steep learning curve in 8. And I think what they've done with 9 is they've, even though the vast majority of the game is very, very similar, as I said earlier on, it's more of an evolution of 8 than a whole new game. The way they've rejigged the events in the career mode, it's commendable, really, because it gives you a much more gradual learning curve rather than, oh, here you go, there's a couple of training laps, there you go. Oh, by the way, here's this horrendous, awful, really difficult thing that you'd be lucky to get through on your first attempt, let alone your third or fourth. So
I think as well is that it's the training modes on WRC 8 and possibly 7 as well was all around sort of Ken mentioned Codemasters when they had that sort of practice area which you could sort of test out your car, and that was quite a big thing in WRC 8. And for me, the actual practice and the test track was awful. It wasn't a very good track. What they've done in WRC 9 is much more appealing. It's much more it's a much easier thing to get into. And it really does develop you. I felt like I was actually learning new techniques as I went along in WRC 9, which is, it's been quite a while since a game sort of done that for me. So that's really cool.
Caution, hard break, the hairpin left, 50. Right 4, 30. Left 4 tightens, into flat right, into flat left. And right more tightened into left.
Okay, Mike, so we've discussed a little brief potted history of the WRC series as it stands now. Let's talk mainly about WRC 9 now then, and talk about its strengths and maybe a few of its weaknesses. The first thing I want to talk about is basically just how many different gameplay modes there are in this game. It's really cool how much stuff they put in here. Even though it does build a lot, as I say, I'm going to say this a lot throughout this episode, but it does build a lot on what's available in WRC 8. WRC 9 takes that and adds to it. So you've got the standard career mode, which we'll go into in more depth in a second. You've got a standard season mode where you can just play a season of WRC. You've got your quick play. You've got your training. The test area, which you mentioned earlier, where you can just drive around this kind of open world, almost like a sandboxy kind of environment, and test different setups and have the weather change and that kind of thing, which is actually really cool. But one of the new things that they've added this year is challenge mode. And what challenge mode is it's almost like, do you remember in like games back in the day where you'd get you had to get a certain amount of, you'd have to do it in a certain time, you had to do it within certain parameters that the game sets, and it gives you three different tiers. So you've got gold, silver and bronze medals. You have to complete the challenges in those parameters, get points, and then it opens up sort of the next layer. It's almost like an arcade version. Almost like an arcade mode, if you will. And I just think it's a really interesting addition, because it just, once, you know, if you get a little bit bored of just doing like a long rally or you're in the career mode and you just want to have a bit of a palate cleanser with some different things thrown in there, it's just nice to be able to, right, I'm going to do this training mission and I've got to get around this course in a certain amount of time to get the bronze medal. I never get the bronze medal, it gives me 10 points and that can open up the next challenge. And it's just nice to be able to dip yourself out of the main career mode or the main rally mode and have a go at something different. And I just thought it was a little nice little addition. You can't really say no to extra content, can you?
You can. And I think, you know, it's actually gives a bit of arcade flavour to the game, which is never a bad thing. As two Sega fans, we certainly wouldn't have a problem with arcade elements. But I think also it's, for me, I haven't played a challenge mode on its own. But as part of the career, obviously, you still have those medals to get as you go through the practice sessions. And I really like that, the fact it gives you a goal to set for. It gives you a realistic goal as well. And it also means that you are gradually, there's a lot of gradual improvement in the game, which is something which is really important, I think, with something like a rally game, where it's not just, you know, you can get into the fastest car and win. It's about gradually getting you up there. And I think that's that element of it, even though it's very arcade focused in terms of medals, it also allows you to sort of have a little bit of a real good practice mode as well.
One thing that I think I won't detract from the game for this, but I would like to have seen a bona fide arcade mode, inverted commas, where you were racing against other vehicles, maybe on the same track. You know, like in things like the old V Rally on the PS1, where you'd race against other vehicles. And I thought that would have been a nice touch. A rally cross. Like a circuit based race mode would have been a nice addition. I'm not complaining. There's a lot here to do anyway.
Would have been cool. Yeah, rally cross would have been cool. I don't know if I would like a multiple car racing on some of the tracks. I think some of the tracks are, as of course in real life they are, they're quite narrow. So I think it would probably be a little bit too much. But I like my rally games to be based on real life. If it's going to be out as a sort of a semi-sim like this game is, I like it to be a bit more, not serious, but a bit more sort of based on reality. So I'm not too bothered by that.
That's a good point.
At the same time, I think one thing is, we touched on this on episodes before, we sort of mentioned this, but for me, when a game tries to shoehorn an arcade mode in and the handling doesn't really fit that, it seems a bit disjointed. Dirt 3 is a good example of that. Dirt 3 was a big thing about it, going back to this rally routes and stuff, which is great, but also had the Gymkhana stuff as well. And to me, it didn't feel like a real fitted game, which is why Dirt 5, which is coming out, which is going to be very much about the multiple car racing, is more of a better fit in my opinion for that. I think it would have been interesting. I mean, we don't know how WRC9 would have done multiple car. It could have been really, really good how they set it up. I think for the future, definitely. I think Rallycross almost certainly would be something which they would have in the future. Although I think Codemasters may own the rights to Rallycross.
Right. Well, that would make sense because it's in Dirt 2, isn't it? So Dirt Rally 2. It's a good point. I mean, if you want to get the sort of the arcade experience on this current generation, you've got stuff like Gravel, which is good. But I think we've maybe discussed before the really annoying boss races that have got the worst rubber banding I've ever seen in any game ever.
Yeah,
you can literally be like on the other side of the course, and then within about 10 seconds that the other car is like caught up to you and is the screaming past you. Yeah, it's like, hang on a minute, how did that happen? That's the challenge mode in WRC9. Now, the main bulk of the game is taken up by the career mode, which is very extensive, but rather disappointingly or not, depending on whether or not you've played WRC8, is almost identical to the previous game. Even down to the way that the... So let me start that again. In the career mode in WRC9, you have a finger in all of the pies when it comes to managing your own team, basically. So you've got to employ staff such as financial advisors, meteorologists, mechanics, R&D people, physiotherapists, and you set up your events calendar by choosing which kind of events you want to enter. You get points to plow into different parts of the team that you wish to develop. So the crew for like morale, your relationship with your manufacturer, that kind of thing. It's fantastic. It's a really good, really in-depth, possibly the most in-depth career mode I've ever seen in a console rally game. And the way it's presented almost reminds me of, did you ever play Gear Club Unlimited on the Switch?
I have not, no.
Well, it's not a very good game, I'll say that off the top. But one of the best things about it was the way that you had this kind of almost like a sandbox, and you could create your own garage, and you could select from different preset parts of garage, if that's the right way of saying it. So you could have like a spray shop or a wheel balancing shop or even a gym for your little men and women who would walk around the garage. But it's kind of like that, isn't it, where you've got this kind of top-down exploded view of the inside of a rally workshop. So you've got all the different sections like boardrooms, you've got reception areas, workshops, and it's really, really well done. The only downside is that it's exactly the same as what you had in WRC8.
Yeah, it's interesting to look at the WRC games, this latest range of WRC games, that they've slowly developed how they've done that side of things. The early ones was very, very much a basic level where you'd have a few things you could do, and then as they went on, they gradually got more and more and more. I've got to say, I love career modes in games. I love the sort of sim aspect and the micromanager aspect, but I actually was slightly put off by the management here, by the career mode, Not because it was bad, not because it was in any way detrimental to the gameplay, but I just, for some reason, it just felt to me like it was a bit too much micromanagement. There was a bit too much stuff to do, so I've actually played season mode a lot more, which is unusual for me. And I think it's just the fact that, well, I'll get on to why probably in more detail a little bit on one of my gripes with the game, but it is nice. It's definitely a good game. Hiring meteorologists was always a fun thing. That's that's the first time in the game I've had to hire a weatherman, which is new, I suppose.
Yeah.
It felt a little bit like Motorsport Manager, the Sega Motorsport Management game. Which is a personal favourite of mine. It felt a little bit like that, where it was sort of, it's not massive detail. We're not talking about sort of, you know, having to fill out tax forms. Although, you know, next year, never know. But there is a lot of stuff in there, but it's still a little bit light. Do you know what I mean? There is micromanagement there, but it's very much sort of generic things. You have sort of like ratings, don't you, for all of the different engineers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's not full Football Manager style game quite yet.
I think I'm kind of on the opposite side. I really enjoy it. I like the way that as you progress through your career and that sort of the months and the weeks tick off the calendar as you do different events, the members of your team who you've employed, they have like a stamina meter. So if you don't swap them out, you know, they get burned out. That can affect their performance, which then in turn can affect, you know, things like how quickly your car can be repaired or how well your financial advisor can get, you know, funds from your podium finishes, that kind of thing. And I can see why someone might not potentially be interested in that. So, as you say, you play the season mode, which is essentially the career mode, but without all of that stuff chucked onto the side of it.
I think the thing for me is the fact that rally games to me has always been about man versus environment, machine versus environment. And it's always been quite a solitary thing for me. And so having a large amount of sort of a team around you and sort of having like, you know, nine people and like someone, you know, sort of like cleaning your feet after every race type thing. to me, it takes away a little bit of that solitary experience from a rally game. I'm probably the only person who thinks this, but for me, that's one of the reasons I love Dakar and why I did a sort of a podcast about Dakar. You know, it was quite a poor game. It was just the fact that it just felt like it was very much you against the world. And I think the career mode in WRC sometimes, and it's been the same for quite a few of these games now, it sometimes feels like there's too much.
Just moving away from the career mode then for a sec, there are a couple of other modes that are worth mentioning. There is a very online kind of leaning in this game. Same as with the previous couple of the games as well. So there's a very big esports kind of element to it, where there's always an event going on when you load up the main screen on the main dashboard menu. You've got online events that are currently happening, so you can enter those and see where you finish against other people around the world. I must admit, I'm not terrible at WRC9. I actually think I'm pretty good. And then I look at some of the times that some of these people have got in the world leaderboards, and I'm just like, yeah, I am terrible. And
it's What kind of rank are you getting?
I mean, I'm way down. I'm way down in the hundreds. Do you know what I mean? So, maybe even in the thousands. To be honest, I dread to look sometimes. That's a nice additional kind of thing that they've done. There's also a new mode called Clubs, where you can actually set up your own club, set up your own championships. That said, though, every time I've tried to access it, it doesn't work. So it just, it says that it's, you know, synchronizing with the server, and then basically chucks me out. What platform are you playing this game on?
Xbox One X.
Yeah, same here. Yeah, I played WRC 8 initially on the Switch. Actually, I played that version on the Switch first. And that is a car crash of a port.
It wasn't good, was it?
No, that is terrible. It's not so much that it looks bad, because, you know, obviously the Switch is a way less more capable machine than either the PS4 or the Xbox One base systems. But so I kind of expected it not to look as good. But the way the game plays, and we'll come on to gameplay and car handling shortly, is broken beyond belief. The cars are far too twitchy. There's a massive dead zone, and you can't even say that it's because of the lack of analog controls on the Switch, because, you know, there's tons of other games which are fine on the Switch with the digital triggers. Likewise, going back to like things like the Vita and the PSP, they didn't have analog triggers, and there's tons of really good racing games on those. So I don't think it's anything to do with that. It was just just a bit of a dog's dinner, to be honest.
It was a rushed port, wasn't it? I think it was a rushed port. Many Switch games have done the same thing, unfortunately.
Quite possibly. I'm intrigued to see what the Switch version of WRC9 ends up looking like or playing like. If they just do the same again as they did last year, or, you know, the last game, I think there'll be a lot of disgruntled Switch Rally fans. And to those people, I say, just go and get Rush Rally 3, because that's the best rally game on the Switch.
Oh.
So yeah, the esports side of things is very, very apparent in WRC9.
And right 5 short into left 4 short 50. Right 3 into left 3 50. Left 5 short into right 4 long Titans 3 into flat left 30.
Okay, Mike, we've spoken about game modes, we've spoken about the career mode, we've spoken about all the esports kind of stuff. Let's talk about the actual game itself now. Let's talk about the aesthetic. Let's talk about the way it plays. Now, I'm going to say this up front. I think this game looks really, really nice, especially on the Xbox One X. I'm playing it in 4K on my 4K TV. I can't really talk about what it looks like on the PS4, but I would imagine it looks just as good. Maybe not as high res, but the worlds, the actual courses that you race through, they all look damn fine to me. The thing I do like about them, less talking about the way the game actually looks and moves, I find that the environments feel very much alive. You've got drones flying around, you've got helicopters overhead, you've got crowds of people dotted around, you've got like little fires in, you know, in the trees at the side where people are sort of huddling around trying to keep warm. I love all that. I think it adds a lot of atmosphere to the game. Even though you do get those moments where it's just you, literally, as you said earlier on, it's you in the vehicle against the environment. You know, you might be going through a forest in the middle of, you know, way out in the middle of nowhere. There's nobody around, just you in the car. But those moments where you do get those glimpses of what's the word? Digital life? Is that a thing?
Yeah.
Within the worlds, it's really appealing. I like it. What about you, Mike?
Yeah, 100%. I think the game looks... I think it's the best looking rally game. I think it looks different than Dirt Rally 2, which I know we mentioned Dirt Rally 2 before, but let's face it, it's the main competition for WRC9. The worlds look fantastic, so detailed. The detail in the world is fantastic, and it makes you feel like you're there. I've mentioned on this podcast before several times that one of the appeals to me is being there in that sort of that rally. And I feel that I'm looking at Sardinia. So the Sardinian races were fantastic. They just, you could almost smell the environment around you. It was such a vivid environment of Finland. You know, racing through the forests of Finland, something I mentioned many times on this podcast. It just felt spot on.
Yeah.
The tracks felt the right width. The trees, it wasn't sort of like, you know, random pop up trees, didn't make any sense for the environment. You can feel like you're driving through a forest. You can see the forest ahead of you. You get to the forest, you drive through the forest, you come out of the forest. That might seem like a very, very small thing, but it's testament to how good the game is designed in terms of its track layouts. And I know that WRC games have done this for quite a while now. The games have always looked pretty good, and the detail's always been pretty fair. But this year, just to me, it feels like they've really upped the game. I'm not playing on a 4K, I'm playing on 1080p. And it looks absolutely stunning. It runs really well. And yeah, it's like going back to when I first got into 3D rally games back in the early 2000s. You really can just envelop yourself in the world, which is what we all want, I think, isn't it, from a rally game?
Oh yeah, the immersion. Yeah, the new environments that they've introduced in this game are you've got Kenya, you've got I think Japan, and I think the other one's New Zealand. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to give a special mention to the Kenya rallies because whereas a lot of the other environments have these very narrow, twisty courses, the Kenya tracks do have periods where the tracks widen out, and sometimes it can actually become a little bit difficult to see where the sort of the course or the track ends and the sort of the tundra starts.
Yeah, yeah.
But on the flip side, that makes it even more exciting.
Savannah, not tundra.
Yeah, sorry, savannah. Yeah, that's the one. But I mean,
tundra's cold.
I stand corrected, Mike. I stand corrected. you're on this savannah. You know, you've got the low sun in the distance. It's shining through the trees. You've got your shafts of light, and then you might come out through the trees, and it's just kind of right in front of you. It's blinding. You can't see where you're going, and it just adds a real kind of sense of excitement to the whole thing. You know, you are relying on the pace notes. You know, you are relying on the co-driver to tell you where you should be going next. But the main thing about WRC 9 that I found that it is improved over WRC 8 is that when it comes to the vehicle handling, you feel ever so much more in control. And it's not a massive difference in the way the cars feel and handle, but it's the subtle differences. And this is ever more apparent when you step up from like the junior WRC or the WRC 2 cars to the actual WRC vehicles. Yep. They're not uncontrollable beasts like they are in previous games. You can very easily learn to control them, and it is exhilarating when you get there, you know. And it's only taken, I mean, I've had this game a week. It's taken me literally a week to get the hang of WRC vehicles, just the way they feel on the track, just how easy it is to actually initiate a power slide just using a controller. I don't use a steering wheel, I haven't got one, and I haven't got space to actually have one. But even with the controller, this kind of melding of the way the game looks and feels, and the car handling together, it's euphoria in rally form. And I don't think I've ever felt this way or this strongly about a rally game since something like Sega Rally, you know. And that is a very high praise, you know. It just feels right. It feels good. You know, I've waxed lyrical before about how good I think Dirt Rally 2 is, but I just think the car handling in this is even better. And aesthetically, visually, the way the game plays, it all comes together and creates, for me, one of the best rally games I've ever played.
Yeah, no, it was high praise. I think for me, the controls definitely improved from WRC8. I think the controls, it feels like you are driving a car, which is actually, as you said about being controllable, I felt a lot of times during WRC8 that the car was just so out of control.
What do you think it is, though? I mean, it's hard to put your finger on, because I've been switching back and forward. Like, even before we started recording this podcast, I was going back and forward on the Xbox between WRC8 and then, you know, doing a stage, and then coming back to WRC9 and doing a stage. And there was just something. It's hard to actually nail down and put it into words.
Weight. I think it's weight.
Yeah, stability and weight. The cars feel like they're actually in the world. They're part of that environment. They're not just floating on the track.
Yeah, I think that's definitely true. I think it feels like you're driving a large vehicle rather than sort of driving an avatar through a world. And to me, that's the main difference. Like I said, I think it's a little bit twitchy for me occasionally as well. There is a little bit of twitchiness in there. But it's very, very playable. And it's just the right side of the arcade sim control method. It's very approachable. There are quite a few different things you can actually put on in terms of driving aids. And it's just about the right side for me to make it an enjoyable game, but still realistic enough. I think the weight is really, really good. I think the way the car handles is infinitely better than definitely, you know, the last couple of games they've had. And when I say infinitely better, I don't mean infinitely better in terms of it's a massive amount of difference. I think it is, as you said, a couple of little tweaks which have just made it massively different. If that makes sense. Even though they're only small changes, they've actually made a massive difference, and I think that's really enjoyable. I think the only thing for me, the only downside for me in the control side, apart from that little bit of twitchiness occasionally, I think that the some of the tracks have some really high undulation, which isn't that easy to see. Now I know that in real rallies that's no doubt the same thing, but I did feel occasionally like there was no calls. There was no sort of like call from the co-driver saying, oh, you know, hazard ahead, the track is undulating. And several times I crashed because of the track, which I felt was a little bit unfair. And I think maybe that's just a sign of maybe the game needed to have a few more calls in it from the co-drivers rather than a problem with the game itself.
Yeah, that's interesting. I've not come across that yet myself, but maybe I'll see that as I play. One thing that's certainly stuck out for me as well is the just how much more forgiving it is if you do find yourself going off the beaten track into the side, you know, into the environment, sort of off the course. The car doesn't suddenly take on the properties of a moon buggy and start bouncing around, which it does in WRC 8 quite a lot. It does give you the chance to, you know, recover and get yourself back on the course without sending your car sort of flying over into the trees, you know. So I did appreciate that. And I think it's just something about the way sorry if I'm repeating myself, but the way the car kind of interacts with the terrain, I think is a lot more realistic. I mean, I've never actually driven a real rally car. I'd like to, maybe when the pandemic's over and things come back to normal, I'll look at doing a rally, like a rally experience.
Yes.
I'd very much like to do that. But I find that, you know, the whole, with rally games, it's almost like everything you've learned from other genres of racing game kind of goes out the window. So in a rally game, you're almost encouraged to use the brake and the accelerator at the same time, because as you go around a corner, you can use them both to basically enhance the braking abilities of your vehicle. So you're almost using like engine braking and the actual brake discs themselves with a little bit of handbrake. And WRC 9 and to a lesser extent WRC 8 get that down, you know, to a perfection, really, that I've not actually really ever seen in another rally game.
No, I think one thing is for me anyway, is the fact that the slower the car or the weaker the car, the better the handling is as well. I don't mean obviously in terms of the fact that the slower cars go slower, so therefore it's going to be better handling. I mean, one of the problems that this WRC series always had is that when you get to the really high level cars, I feel like the floatiness comes back a little bit too much. Regardless of you know how the cars feel in real life, this is a game ultimately, and I feel sometimes they do sacrifice the sort of the controls seem to go out the window. It's a little bit on this one still. The very fastest cars to me don't feel quite as well controlled, but it's a lot less than it has been in the past. They still feel like you're actually driving a weighty car, and there isn't this sort of like, you know, I almost like to refer to the cars in racing games when they have really fast cars that sort of go ridiculous levels of speed and don't really have the physics. It's like the old floaty footballs you used to have when you were at school. the proper footballs that everyone used to have, and then occasionally some kid would bring in one of those floaty footballs, and then it was just pointless because it didn't feel right. And that's what I feel a lot of rally games do. They sometimes forget that physics has the same impact on cars no matter how powerful they are. And I think this game isn't as bad as the last couple, where I've really felt that quite badly. But on this one, I think with the junior WRC cars, which I think is the Ford Focus. Is it Ford Focus?
I think it's the Fiesta.
With the Fiesta and with the WRC 3 cars, they feel really, really, really good.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely a case of start slow and then build up your skills to move on to the WRC beast.
But not quite as much as Dirt Rally 2, I don't think. I don't think it's quite as big a learning curve as Dirt Rally 2. I don't know if you agree with me or not.
I do agree. The thing with Dirt Rally 2 is that you kind of want to go and get into the WRC Impreza. Do you know what I mean? And go, oh, this is the car that I recognise from, you know, rally games. I want to play this. And then you get in it and you start racing it. It's just like you pull the trigger in and the car just goes and just flies off into a tree or something. And it's like,
I remember that the rear wheel drive cars on Dirt Rally 2 and 1, I mean, I just couldn't do it. I mean, every single corner I went to, I span out every single corner.
Yeah. Yeah, so I would always avoid the rear wheel drive cars. And to some extent, they're not much better in WRC 9, but
no. They
are slightly more forgiving, let's say, shall we? So we've spoken about the positives of this game, of which there are many, many positives, even just things like the weather affects the way that they change, you know, dynamically. Yes. And I just think that's brilliant.
It's really good. Yeah, the weather effects, really, really impressive. I mean, I haven't spoken about that. The weather effects are glorious. So there was racing on one of the tracks in Sardinia again, and I thought the game... I'd not drawn the graphics correctly. I thought it was a bit hazy. It's a bit, you know, that's quite low resolution. Until I realised it was just like rising mist. Mm. I was like, all right, fair enough. That's pretty good. And even my wife, who was behind me, sort of went, oh, that looks pretty cool. So that's pretty impressive. And I think something which the other main series, whose name I'm not going to mention again, doesn't do that well. They've never done weather brilliantly.
What's that, Rallycross?
No, in terms of Dirt Rally 2, the weather's never been quite as good for me. This game, I think, is probably the best weather effects I've seen in any rally game.
Did you notice the new effect that they put into the extreme weather sections? The way the trees all blow around all over the place.
Oh, yes, yeah.
That looks really good, doesn't it? It's just such a small thing, but it just makes the scene. You know, it's pitch black, it's driving rain, you know, and you've got the trees all like,
you know, game that reminds me of The Witcher. The Witcher 3.
Oh yeah.
When you first play The Witcher 3 and you sort of, the wind suddenly starts picking up and you sort of go, it's not like the Skyrim type game where it doesn't make much of a difference. You can properly feel like you're in the middle of a really windy day. And I felt the exact same on that. In fact, I think it was the Kenyan track actually, the first extreme conditions race go into. And the wind picks up and you sort of go, this is properly... It's another immersive feel to the game, but also it makes you, as a rally game, you want to be against the environment. You don't want to have a nice, simple race. You want to have something really interesting. So well done for the developers there, definitely.
Yeah. Just on the topic of Witcher 3, I always used to think how cool it would be to actually be able to drive a vehicle around that world. You know, smashing a Subaru Impreza around, like, what was it called? White something?
White one? That's Skyrim.
No. So is it White Orchard?
Sorry, the training mission, the training.
Just anywhere really around the world, throughout the around Skellige or something.
Anywhere through Northgard, the Skellige Islands Rally would be interesting.
That would be like Great Orm, wouldn't it? It'd be like along the coast.
Yeah.
Very narrow. Widens 400, jump 200.
Anyway, Mike, we've waxed lyrical now about how great we think this game is. Are there any things that you dislike about the game? Are there any things that you'd like to pull it up on? There's a couple from myself, and they're mainly kind of visual things. It's not quite as polished as it could be. There are little instances where things like the level of detail, or LOD, as it's known, is the way it pops in sometimes is quite stark, and it's very noticeable, especially with like the trees in some of the forest stages, and also the way that in some courses the shadow, it's not as bad as in V Rally 4 on the Switch, where the shadow kind of draws itself in about 10 feet in front of the vehicle. Yeah. But it is noticeable on trackside objects as you're racing along. the shadow kind of just kind of shades itself in about 20 feet away. So a couple of little graphical things like that that I'm not too keen on. And the only other real kind of negative I can say, and again, it's not really that big of a negative, it's just kind of how similar some of the modes are to the previous game. So the test area, the training sections, it's all the same sort of training tracks. So a little bit of variation there would have been nice. But if you've never played 8, you'll never know that. So I can't really take away too much for that.
For me, there's two main complaints. So I think screen tearing. So I didn't have any screen tearing at all until I started playing it yesterday. And I have tested to make sure my Xbox is not broken. It's not massive. There's not a massive amount of screen tearing. But I noticed, especially if you restart the track, which I had to do several times yesterday, I've noticed that on the third or fourth attempt of the restart, it seems to tear a lot more. So I had a fair bit of screen tearing, which is a little bit disappointing. It wasn't massively damaging to the game, so it wasn't sort of completely focus breaking. But it obviously, I've already mentioned, I don't like screen tearing in games. And the other thing is a complaint I've had against this series since the start, really, which is difficulty balancing. For some reason, I can win the snow stage, the Swedish rally, the snow stage. Something comes to talk about Sega Rally. I can beat the Swedish rally with ease by about a minute. Every other rally on that difficulty level, I'm either just about winning it or I'm losing by an absolute mile. And I think that and it's not even a case where it's like, oh, I'm great at snow racing and I'm not very good at the gravel races, because one gravel rally I can win by 20 seconds, the next gravel rally I can lose by 50. It seems to me like, again, it's an artificial difficulty there, almost, where some of the times that your opponents get don't match reality. I've done a track where I've literally made no mistake. I've done really well, and I've lost by 20 seconds. The next stage, I've crashed 5 times, and I've won by 10 seconds. It doesn't happen as much as it did with one of these games a few years ago. There was one, I think it was maybe 7, maybe 6, where literally there was one track where it made the game impossible, because there was one track where you always lost by 2 minutes. No matter what happened, you lost by 2 minutes, on the Xbox at least. And it's not quite as bad as that. But it's noticeable, and it's something which I noticed in a lot of racing games anyway. They're just this artificial, almost. It just breaks the reality. It breaks the immersion for you, because no matter what you do, you're sort of set up for either a victory or a loss. And it's something which the Codemasters racing games are renowned for not doing. They don't have this. They're really good at not having that problem. And I feel like this does have it occasionally. If I remember right, it was the Polish rally a few years ago on one of these WRCs where it was really, really bad. You just lost by minutes.
Yeah.
So that's reared its head a little bit for me. But apart from that and the screen tearing, I think it's definitely getting there for me in terms of it being the premier standard rally game.
The studio they've got, I believe they've got until 2023 before the rally license goes back to Codemasters. Yeah. So maybe in, you know, WRC 10, WRC 11, if we ever get there, maybe those issues will be fixed. I will say, I haven't seen any screen tearing myself on my TV. I am playing it in 4K, so maybe that makes a difference.
Possible, yeah, possible.
And with the thing about the difficulty, I know exactly what you mean. This kind of thing seems to be a problem, not just in this game, but in other games as well. For example, when I play Pro Evolution Soccer 2020, which I'm still doing every now and then, there are some games, right, there are some matches that no matter how good your squad is, how rested your players are, it will not let you win. And it's almost like...
You can dismiss that, can't you? You can dismiss that almost with a football game, because the football is, you know, let's look at the football results from 2 weeks ago, you know what I mean? Liverpool losing 7-2.
Yeah.
And Man United losing 6-1. Sorry, Tom.
I'm over it, don't worry.
Those kind of things, you can understand that with football games to an extent. I mean, Football Manager, I've literally like won the Champions League one season, and the next season I lose 7-1 to a League One team. But with racing games, you know, Sebastian Loeb won, I don't know, 50 1,000 rallies in a row because of the fact he was a great racing driver. And if you've got the skills in a rally game, there is no sort of, apart from acts of God, I suppose, where you'll get the occasional sort of weather effect or mishap, it shouldn't happen. So I think with racing games, it's really noticeable. It's annoying, but I know what you mean by Pro Evo and football games like that. I remember going well back, Sensible World of Soccer, to me, there was, for some reason, Sensible World of Soccer, I could win every single game apart from just one team. Whether it was this team was just amazing or not, I don't know, but I just remember that.
Well, on that bombshell, are there any things that you'd like to see added in the next WRC game? Maybe things that you've seen in other rally games that'd be nice? I've got a suggestion. And the reason why I bring this up is because it just pops into my head. In WRC Rally Evolved on the PS2, when you start a stage, camera view is from inside the cockpit. It's automatic, you can't do anything about it, but it's where the co-driver basically is asking if everything's fine, ready to go. And the car kind of drives through the crowd and the crowd kind of parts as you get to the starting point. I just thought it was a really nice touch, like nice little bit of detail. So something like that would be nice, just to add an even bit, little bit more immersion. And also something that they could maybe steal from Codemasters, if Codemasters haven't like copyrighted it or something, is where when you get to the end of a stage, it doesn't just like stop and go into this kind of slow motion thing. You have to like drive up to the marshal and stop in the right place.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean? Just to add a little bit more realism to the start and the end of a stage, that'd be pretty cool. I don't know if you've got anything like that you'd like to see maybe.
Yeah, I think for me, a bit more world immersion. So sort of like videos of the rallies before they start, of the sort of where you are, the location where you are. I'm sure WRC game had that. I'm not sure if it did.
No, I know what you mean though, because in some of the like old rally games on the PS1, there would be like these introductory kind of videos, like "Welcome to Sardinia," da 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 da, and it'd go off. And in fact, the last game I played that had that was WRC 4 on the PS Vita. And I know it's got that because I recently played it at the start of the rally. It does have like a little introductory video, if I'm not mistaken.
That, that sort of it immerses you in the world again. It gives you some TV presentation to it and really sort of makes you part of the world. But also I would love to see, and I'm going to be hated by people who listen to this podcast and you probably. I actually really like the flashback elements that Codemasters brought into games many years ago. I know it's not, you know, for hardcore gamers, but for me, if I've just done a 13-kilometer race, and then as I said to earlier on about the undulating roads, sometimes if I make a tiny mistake and I've got to restart the entire rally again, if it's a mistake which is a genuine mistake, then cool. But occasionally you make mistakes because I don't know, you itch your nose, something like that.
Yeah.
So I want to make sure that I would love that to come back. I think games have gone off it a little bit now. It seems to be that games aren't really doing that. I know that I don't know if Dirt 5's going to have it, but I know that Dirt Rally 2 obviously doesn't have it. But to me, it's just for people who aren't maybe as hardcore, it's a nice little touch.
I agree. I play Forza Motorsport 7 quite a lot, and I'm forever using that rewind function because when I play, if I'm wearing my contact lenses and one of my eyes starts going, I'm like, oh, I can't see, and then I'll crash, and I'm like, oh, fuck.
Rewind. Forza 7 does it really well, doesn't it? Forza 7 does it really well in terms of the fact that it's not, you can rewind quite a bit, but I think it's 4-7 where you can rewind little stages, don't you? You can rewind a block at a time.
Mm.
Is that 4-7?
Yeah, you can rewind so far, and then you can rewind even further if you want.
Yeah, so that's really good, because I think one of the problems you had with the Codemasters racing games when they introduced it is the fact that you could just rewind it, and you could do it like to a millisecond, and that sort of took the challenge away from rally games a little bit. But if you did it in blocks, and like there was, you know, sort of almost like a very, very small checkpoints throughout the stage, you could just reverse back to that one. That would still give a little bit of challenge for me, anyway.
Yeah, no, Ride 3 does that as well. I think that, and Ride 4, yeah. So
it does, yeah.
If you take a corner and just face plant into a wall, then you can have as many goals. Yeah, you can give it as many goals as you want. Luckily, I've never done that in real life. So, I'm touch wood. It doesn't happen to me. I'm just going to touch wood now. Yeah, I've touched wood. Yeah. Right, Mike. Now let's give our verdict, shall we? I can't remember how we do this. Is it out of 10? It's been a while since we did an episode.
Out of 10, yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to let you go first. Mike, what's your verdict for WRC 9 out of 10? That sounds weird.
It does. But my verdict out of 10 would be an 8. 8 out of 10. I think it does a lot of stuff well. I can see why it's a massive improvement for most people. To me, it's still a little bit twitchy. But I can understand that's just probably me getting old.
Yeah, cool. I'm going to give WRC 9 a 9 out of 10. I think this is possibly my favourite rally game so far. It's kind of eclipsed Dirt Rally 2 for me, just because I'm more in tune with the way it plays. I think the cars just handle a little bit better. And yep. I'm also a big fan of the sound design as well. The way that you can hear the gear changes and the sort of the little sort of dump valves while you're in the internal view. And then yes. when you come to the external view, the way the sound of the engines kind of echoes around the environment. It's just yep. it's little things like that that you don't really notice until you actually pay attention. It's just the little sort of touches that like that I really enjoy. So yeah, it's a 9 out of 10 for me.
150. Left 4 over crest, open. Right 5, keep middle over crest, jump. Left 5 over crest, keep in. Into right 5, keep in over crest.
So that is WRC 9. I think we're both fans of this game. And hopefully, Killerton continues for as long as they've got the license to produce these high-quality rally experiences. Yeah, it remains for us to see what Codemasters can do when they get the license in a couple of years' time. But before we go, Mike, I'd just like to pick your brains on what are your thoughts on what you've seen so far on Dirt 5?
I adore it. I mean, I've it's a weird franchise to have an attachment to, but Dirt 1, and back to Toka Race Driver games before that as well, but Codemaster Racing games are just, for me, they are. I would be happy to play Codemaster Racing games only for the rest of my life. I love it. I love the off-road elements, the sort of buggy elements. I love that sort of side of Codemaster Racing games, and I think Dirt 5 looks absolutely stunning. It looks like it plays really, really well. I am looking forward to it immensely. It's probably the game I've looked forward to mostly of the entire generation, I think.
Will you be playing it on your Xbox One X, or have you got an Xbox Series X pre-ordered or anything like that?
No, so for the first time in 20 years, I have not got a launch console pre-booked. I have no intention of getting a Xbox Series X until probably next year, late mm-hmm. next year. Mm-hmm. I don't see the point, to be honest with you. The games aren't going to look a massive amount of difference. I don't have a 4K TV yet. I don't intend to get one. So for me, there's no real benefit.
Makes sense.
But at the same time, I love what Xbox. I will be getting a Series X and not a PS5. I love what the Microsoft are doing in terms of backwards compatibility, and obviously the upgrade to games from the Xbox One to the Xbox Series X. So I will buy the Xbox One X version and enjoy it, and no doubt play it again on the Series X as well.
I'm going to have to wait and see, because I did manage to pre-order an Xbox Series X, but then I got told that my pre-order had been cancelled, and yes. then I was told that it's not been cancelled, and you will get one, but I've not had any kind of financial agreement thing through yet, so I actually don't know if I'm going to get one or not. I suppose it's in the lap of the gods at the moment, but if one does turn up, then great.
It's not exciting to me. I know we've gone off topic slightly, but it's just not exciting me this year. I don't think it's there's nothing to it. It seems to be an upgrade. It's almost like, I've seen nothing of the games that are coming out that's particularly wowing me. I don't think games need to improve from the graphics that the Xbox One X does. I think it's all about
One
graphics
X.
now.
Yeah, One X games look really, really good. So, it's just going to be a little bit of extra spit and polish, I think, on top of that. Really.
Yeah.
So, I suppose we'll wait and see. But, if an Xbox Series X turns up, then great. If it doesn't, I've still got my One X, and I'm quite happy with that. So,
yeah, Dirt 5 looks stunning. We will cover Dirt 5.
Oh, yeah.
And I am looking forward to it immensely.
Excellent stuff. Well, that's probably going to do it for us. We both like WRC9. We're looking forward to Dirt 5. There's not really much more to say. Thank you for listening. Thank you again for listening while we've been on sort of a hiatus. And, it's really encouraging to know that people like what we're doing. And, yep. if you can follow us on Twitter. It's Power Drifting Pod. And, we'll be back again in the near future with another episode. So, stay tuned, I suppose. Mike, where can people find you on the internet if they want to?
So on Twitter at @space_turnit.
Cool. And you can just find me here and on the Dreamcast Junkyard if you want to. Right, that's about it. Until next time, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Finish!